for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, November the 30th, 1991. This is tape one of two tapes of the afternoon service of the Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas.
But the weak say they are strong. I am strong because of Jesus. Turn to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. Everybody have it? 1 Corinthians 10. For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, or ignorant of your Bible. I'm reading our New American Standard, that our fathers, I want you to say, our fathers.
Our fathers.
Our fathers. I want you to concentrate on that a few minutes. Our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Who passed through the sea? Who else? I mean, I want the real.
Israel.
So it says all that our fathers, this is New Testament now. I'm not reading out of the Old Testament. And all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food. Have we been eating spiritual food this week? And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and that rock was Christ. I want you to all say, Christ Jesus liveth in me.
Christ Jesus liveth in me.
Say it again.
Christ Jesus liveth in me.
And our fathers were the Israelites. I hope all of you can receive this. Don't get mad, because I'm going to go further. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased. Did the children of Israel please the Lord every day?
No.
For they were laid low in the wilderness. Have you been laid low in the wilderness lately? We're still in the wilderness, aren't we? But we're coming out on the arms of our beloved. Now, these things happened as examples for us. I think we took up a lot of their traits, don't you? The children of Israel were constantly causing trouble. I feel sorry for Moses. And I really, I don't know if I were God if I'd have kept him out of the promised land. But you see, he did one little thing wrong, didn't he? How many believe we all do little things wrong? How many believe we're coming out of doing little things wrong and big things wrong? We're coming into a walk that the Lord has required. And that's why we have deliverance. Now, in the early days of Pentecost, where I grew up in the early 30s, we had salvation. We had baptism of the Holy Spirit. We had healing. We had miracles. Well, we've had miracles here today. How many feel you've had a miracle here today? When the Lord changes us, that's a miracle. We don't have to put ourselves down that they were the only ones that had miracles, because there's miracles here every day. But we have been laid low in the wilderness. We have suffered terrible at the hands of the enemy. Now, I don't know exactly. Somebody said last night that Maxwell White was one of the first deliverance ministries. And that was probably in the 30s, maybe, or early 40s. And then, you see, the Lord brings waves of glory. First the salvation wave, and then the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then the great healing revivals. We were in all of those. And I wonder how I walked so densely living in the parsonage. I really do wonder. But you see, it wasn't the time for the Lord to bring forth this final army. How many know you're in the army?
Amen.
Now, if you haven't showed up for the battle, you better show up, because we're coming into a day and an age right now in this decade that we're going to have to fight every inch of the way. You know, when you're in the 30-fold ministry, that's when you get saved, free. Everything's lovely. Oh, you're testifying. You got saved. The Lord's changing you. And then you go into the 60-fold and you receive the gifts of the Spirit. We have all these wonderful charismatic meetings. And then the Lord said, that's free. free gift, isn't it? Then he said, come on up higher. Does he keep saying, come on higher? In the Spirit. We must tune into what the Holy Spirit is saying in these last days. We must tune into what the Spirit is saying to the church. John told us that in the book of Revelation. But from now on, it's going to cost you everything. If you ever want to become a hundredfold Christian, how many would like to have the hundredfold anointing? Now, we said under Dr. Price's ministry, and he used to say that laymen in the last days would walk into a hospital and they would be unknown. They would just be a person walking with the Lord. There's a lot of unknowns that have no big names, but the Lord is using them and he's preparing them. And he used to tell us that they'll walk into hospitals and clear the whole place out and not a soul will know who did it or what their names were. And we always want to say, oh, who prayed for you? Who prayed for you? Oh, I got prayed by. And that's all right. We should reverence. Don't you think that's all right? I think it's all right, too, but we don't need to worship them. We don't need to worship them. Nobody. Now, all of these things, verse 6, happened as examples for us that we should not crave evil things as they also crave. The fear of God is to hate evil. Do you really hate evil? If you hate the devil enough, you're going to want to fight him with every weapon that you've got. What are the weapons of our warfare? Are not carnal, but they're up there. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You know, it doesn't do anything when I first come into deliverance. It's a horrible thing to think you've got something inside of you that controls you. Oh, that just blew my mind. And I could say, like, we hate to say what we had. But I don't mind telling you I've had everything, I think. But I started out, and I knew the first time I ever heard Brother Prince preach, I knew that I had demons. I'd tell Granny, there's nothing wrong with you. You just imagine it. Tell my daddy, been a preacher, was a preacher years and years and years. He'd say, honey, there's nothing wrong with you. I'd say, but I feel something wrong in me. Something wrong in me. And everybody would try to talk me out of it. Does people try to talk you out of it? Your pastor will try to talk you out of it. You'll go in and they say, I need prayer. There's something wrong with me. Oh, honey, just praise the Lord. Oh, Jesus, help her. Give her a little blessing today. We need more than a touch. We're right at the end of the age. We've never walked this way before. We don't know what we're coming into. Do we?
Nope.
Where's that Tommy Cook? How come he's not saying amen? Oh, thank you. And read that next verse, seventh verse. And do not be idolaters. That's only in the Catholic Church. As some of them were. Now, these children of Israel, that we've got their blood in us, because it says our fathers. I mean, let's face the facts. Isn't that logic? It's just plain truth. You may think all of Israel is over there. They're all right here. There, the church of the living God. And do not be idolaters. Now, I'm going to speak on idols. And you may think I belong in the talking down to the Catholic Church, but listen, Pentecostals have idols. If you don't think so, just touch one of their favorite preachers. I won't listen to anybody else's tapes but Glenn and Irma's. Oh, I pray for you. I pray for you. I won't listen to anybody else's tapes but Kenneth Copeland. I've heard that. We've been in the tape ministry for how long, Glenn, since 1964? Well, we hardly knew what a tape recorder was. We were thrust into it by the Lord. You know, the calling of the Lord is really something. You can call yourself. Your mother can call you. Your father can call you. They used to try to call us to Africa. And I may have not been very rebellious to my parents, but I was saying, no, I'm not going to Africa. I'm not going. That was the whole thing in the early 40s. Every couple that got married is supposed to go to Africa. Well, we'd have been shipwrecked long ago. It was bad enough to come to Arkansas from California. You think I didn't suffer? No mall when we came. No McDonald's when we came. No 31 flavors when we came. Gave all of our money away. So I didn't need the mall, because if you don't have money, you can't go to the mall. Let's get back on this idolatry. Shall I tell them that we all have idolatry in us? You'll soothe it over tonight? Good. as it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink. Don't you love to just go out and eat and drink and have fellowship? I don't mean liquor. I'm against that. I've been against that ever since we got saved. I was against movies. I'm still against movies. I think it's a waste of time. I think it robs you of your spiritual walk. If you knew that Jesus was coming tomorrow morning, you think you'd sit and watch a movie all night? I doubt it. But we had that man right here in Arkansas that said the rapture was going to come, you remember? My land, people were just petrified. They call me up from California Air Place. What do you think about that? And I said, I think he's not coming because Jesus doesn't even know when he's coming. And that man sure doesn't know. Jesus won't come till the Father. He says, I only obey the Father. I would to God that we could all say that. We only obey the Holy Spirit, the Father. Praise the Lord. And sit up to play. You think they don't? We don't have a lot of playful Christians? Well, I wish you'd say something. Nor let us act immorally. Oh, my. Oh, my. We surely don't have that in Pentecostal circles, do we? Well, the world knows we've got it in Pentecostal circles because it's spread across the TV. And I tell you, it makes me want to weep inside and cry for those fallen men. But for the grace of God, it could be any of us. And I've seen the biggest top-notch ministers in my years, just the devil just whip them down. Idols. 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 And they became immoral. Well, there's a lot of immorality in the body of Christ now. Lust. As some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day. Now, that's an example for us. Why do you think people die early death? Because of sin. The wages of sin is death. Stop sinning and you'll stop dying. Can you see that?
Yeah, that's true.
Now, none of us are without sin, but we should be. And we have the precious blood. We know how to repent, don't we? You know, I have learned that repentance is if we had more repentance at the altar when people would get saved instead of having a decision, we wouldn't have so many evil spirits. I mean, we've got to face it. Evil spirits are just playing havoc, especially with spirit-filled people. Now, he doesn't have to go out and bother the world too much. He's got them. But if he can just get one family with just a foot in the door, he'll tear up a family. Is that true? Immorality, lust, pornography, all of that. If you have any of that around, or if you've ever looked at it, you're going to need deliverance. Because that old lust of the eye is going to get you. It will. The devil is going to touch anything in us that we haven't repented of, isn't he? He's going to just maul us around. And he doesn't hate us so bad. He hates the Jesus in us. He hates Jesus. He hates the unknown tongue. When we pray in the unknown tongue, he doesn't know what we're praying about, and that upsets him. And I think that if every day, if we'd all pray what they called pray through in the olden days, we'd be more victorious. Because when we're praying in an unknown tongue, the Holy Spirit prays absolutely perfect. And he knows what we have need of. And Jesus said, I know what you have need of before you even ask. But he wants us to ask because it's good for us to ask out loud because our ears need to hear that we're repenting. And the devil needs to hear. He hates the blood of Jesus. But we love Jesus, don't we? And we love that blood. 23,000 fell in one day. Well, there were how many million of the children of Israel? I forget, but they had a lot of them. But nor let us try the Lord as some of them did and were destroyed by the serpent. The enemy is a destroyer, and Jesus came to destroy the what? Works of the devil. And he's living in us, isn't he? And we're his spokesperson on the earth now by the Spirit. Well, he lives in us. The Holy Spirit lives in us. The Father lives in us. But it's how we yield to the Lord that counts. I don't want to be destroyed by serpents. I don't want to die an early death. Now, Glenn hit his 70 mark last year, and I will hit mine this coming year. I always thought 70 was awfully old. I don't think it is now at all. He says, I'm going to return your youth. I thank him every day. I want my youth back. I want to be strong. I don't want to be crippled. I don't want to be anything wrong with my body. Well, I still have some problems, but I praise God for his strength. And you know, I told you the other day, let the weak say they are strong. I am strong through Jesus Christ. It's him that gives me the strength. It's him that does the work in us. Oh my, we're coming to a terrible thing. And grumble, as some of them did. And we're destroyed by the destroyer. Who's the destroyer? The devil is the destroyer. He wants to kill us. He wants to destroy us. He wants to steal, rob us of everything we have. He'll rob you of your salvation. He'll rob you from the Word of God. We had a big session today about the spirit of forgetfulness, not being able to remember the Word of God. And I told him my experience. I've had a lot of different experiences, but that one was one that stayed in my mind because that demon was the biggest shock. I knew I had a lot of other things, but I would have said, well, I don't have that. But when the man of God said, you have a spirit of forgetfulness, I thought, how ridiculous. Well, I always let them pray. You know, if it ain't in there, it ain't going to come out. You got to. Well, about three times he said, your spirit of forgetfulness, come out of her. And all of a sudden, the voice came right on me and said, no. I was like, I was sitting over in that chair watching me here. I thought, oh, my. Now, Glenn used to always, I tell him, he's worn out my brain, asking me, who are those? Who do they live? And all of that. But, you know what it was? Gary Prince was fighting it and his wife. I mean, that thing put up a terrible fight. I've never had such a hard deliverance. I mean, where a demon threw me around on the floor, and we were in our own house. Oh, thank the Lord I wasn't in front of the congregation of the righteous. Now, I'll tell one on Glenn, because I used to tell him, I'm full of demons. He said, there's nothing wrong with you. You're just imagining all that. I said, no, I'm not. And I would get so angry with him, because I knew he had demons, and then I'd get more. Every time you get angry with somebody, you're going to get more. I mean, that's just the way he works. And I would say, boy, I must have cursed him. I don't know. I made a proclamation. If you don't submit to deliverance, you're going to fall down in the congregation of the righteous, and everybody is going to see you. You think he did? Oh, yeah, one day. Writhing around on the floor, saying, don't stop praying. It's killing me. Oh, he can tell you. I enjoyed it for about... I enjoyed it for 30 minutes or so. And then it got up here, and he had that death rattle. Have you ever heard anybody dying? Oh, it's scary. Then I thought he was going to die. And the two pastors... No, I got on my knees and I started to pray for him. And the two men, one of them was the same man she came under way back years the same time we did, but she couldn't handle it. She's got a song and she'll have to sing it for you. Would you like to hear her sing a song? I mean, in early days it was terrible. They always had a bucket right up here. And she wrote a song. And I didn't know that she'd ever been under this one man's ministry until she started to sing. And I said, you've been under Brother So-and-so's ministry. And she said, do you know him? I said, I sure do. Well, I was so proud. I couldn't do that. I just wouldn't do that. But that spirit of forgetfulness, here's what it said. Derek Prince said, tell me, how are you operating to her? It said, We won't. We're locked to her brain, and we're not coming out. He said, but what do you do to her? We won't let her remember the Word of God. Now, if you can't remember the Word of God, you can't get to first base casting out a demon, because it is written. That's how Jesus answers the devil every time. It is written. We need to confess. Jesus gives me power. Say that.
Jesus gives me power.
Over all the powers of the devil.
Over all the powers of the devil.
You believe that?
Yeah.
You have Jesus in you?
Yeah.
You believe you've got power over the devil?
Yeah.
Well, you have to tell him so. Oh, he hates that. You can say it is written.
It is written.
The Lord rebukes you.
The Lord rebukes you.
Try that. My, you don't know what might happen. All right. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. We can never be so sure and so religious and so holy that you think the enemy. All you have to do is watch TV. The famous ministries. I just cry inside for them. If they only knew what we were teaching here today, and if they only would submit themselves. It's this awful pride and this arrogance. Even Derek Prince right now has been through something, and the Lord told him the reason you're sick is because you need to humble yourself, and I'm not going to do it for you, the Lord said. It's right out on a tape and in his magazine. And he also told him that you're arrogant. Well, I could vouch for that. He used to have me crying all the time. And I do hate crying women. I always say that. But I'm telling you, we're coming into a day that we must seek the Lord, that every little smidgen of everything that is evil comes out of us, so we'll have some power and authority over these evil powers. They're going to get stronger. The higher up you go in the spirit, they're going to try to pick you off, and they'll wait until they can embarrass Jesus with prominent people. So beware of becoming proud and arrogant and not humbling yourself. The best way to humble yourself is to fast. Oh, your body hates that. It hates it. Every Thursday we fast. Maybe we're in a ritual, but I don't know. That's what Glenn has established. We fast. And we used to fast all day. But when the boys are out here, the young men mowing lawns and everything, I just couldn't not deprive them of eating in the evening. But you grown people, you can handle that now. You say, well, I get a headache. Well, that's because you're addicted. Is that right?
Yeah.
We idolize food, don't we? Idols, don't we? Come on, do we? We idolize preachers. We're acting just exactly like Israel acted. And I'm telling you, when I felt so sorry for Moses every time I read about him, because he went through so much with those grumbling, rebellious creatures. It's terrible. The church in the wilderness, we're still there. Still our father's blood, in our bloodline. And that's why the Lord wants, in last verse of Joel, very last chapter, last verse of Joel, he says, I will cleanse your blood that has not been cleansed. You can go to any doctor anywhere, and they'll ask you for your history. Did your mother have heart trouble? Did your father die of heart trouble? Don't they? They have all that rigmarole. Those are all inherited curses. Now, you may not think that curses are anything only in Africa. Look, they're right here in America, and they're right in us and on us. The day I was born, my grandmother was mad because my mother had a second child. She stomped her feet. Now, my mother told me this all my life, but I didn't really understand it. She stomped her feet. She said, I wish this kid would die. And I'm telling you, I went to death's door so many times. And even my doctor said, Irma, you should have died on the street. We had a horrible car accident. My spleen was ruptured. My brain was thrown to the side. All kinds of hideous things that the devil was always trying to kill me. And I didn't know I had a curse of death on me. How many here know whether or not you have a curse of death on you? That you're constantly sick. Maybe you've inherited mental problems. Maybe you've inherited diabetes. Maybe you've inherited heart trouble. All of these things are a good sign that you have a curse on you. And I never knew till a man of God says, Irma, you have a curse of death on you. I started thinking about this. Well, when I had three-day measles, I'd go to death's door. When I had whooping cough, I'd go to death's door. They'd despair of my life. That devil was trying to kill me. I don't know if he knows what we're going to be or do, but he wanted to kill me. And I'm praising the Lord that I don't want any more death. I don't want to go to death's door anymore. And I don't want the Lord to have to punish me. You say, he don't punish people. Oh, yes, he does. I told them upstairs yesterday how I fell down those stairs in the other room. I didn't, up the spiral stairway. I didn't fall head first. I fell through the back part of the stair that has no board on it. I fell clear down to my groin, but I was holding on. Otherwise, the devil would have really killed me because I'd have turned to Somerset and torn my leg off, I'm sure. And I limped around. I couldn't get up here hardly on that platform. I think that's why Glenn has it down here. I'd be limping for over a year. My leg would kill me down the side of my leg. And I don't know how long it was. It was too long. I had no idea. Every preacher that come here, they prayed for me. Well, I got to pray for your leg. They'd pray. Nothing would happen. You know why? One man of God out in Phoenix took one look at me when I walked in. When I walked in there, he said, he always calls me girl. Girl, what do you need today? He hadn't seen us for a long time. I said, oh, my leg, my leg. He looked at it and he said, oh, yeah, I see what's wrong with that. I said, well, I fell down. He said, no, it's worse than that. You're going to have to repent now. So when he tells you, he's ministered to us a lot over the years and taught us a lot. He's an old timer, 89 years old now. Fast and prays constantly. He said, there's a serpent wrapped tight around your leg. You're getting no circulation. And it's because, he said, do you want to know? I said, yes, I want to know. He said, you're going to have to repent. I said, all right, I'm willing. Because when you suffer long enough, you've had enough, you're ready for anything. Anything. People that come in here that really want deliverance and they've suffered so long, they're ready no matter what it is. He said, well, that's a serpent of unforgiveness. You haven't forgiven somebody. I said, well, I thought I had. He said, somebody's hurt you really bad and you haven't forgiven them. You know, a lot of ministries get hurt. They get hurt. But we have to. See, you can say, I forgive, I forgive, I forgive. But I tell you, you have to do it with your head, your heart, your whole being. And he says, you're going to have to repent now. Well, he says, I'll lead you in a prayer. When he leads you in a repentance prayer, you know you've been led. So he went on and on, any time, in any form or any way that she's ever yielded to this spirit of unforgiveness. Lord, please, please forgive her. Please forgive her. She wants to forgive, but these people hurt her bad, and she just gets that memory recall, and she thinks about it when she sees them. And it went on. Oh, when he makes you repent, I mean, the blood of Jesus washes your leg. Is that all right? You believe in that kind of repentance? And then finally he said, now that sin is all gone. That didn't mean the demon was gone. He said, now that serpent's wrapped tight around your leg and you have no circulation in your left leg. And that was true. I used to go home and have to rub my leg and have a terrible time. And I always kept working. I think I work whether I'm sick or not. I always say, Glenn will get me out of the coffin. Can't you do one more thing? All he did now, he's no loud in the name of Jesus and screaming person. He just took one look at it, pointed his finger at it. He says, you're going to have to go. You have no authority there anymore. She has been forgiven by Jesus, and you have no right there. Now you go in Jesus' name. And it went. And I could walk as good as I'm walking today. Now, does that say anything to you? Why do you think Christians are sick? I'll guarantee if we have a healing line and a healing minister here, that almost everybody in here would get up. I saw Jack Hayford at a full gospel convention. There must have been several thousand in that big auditorium. And he said, I want anybody that has an infirmity to stand and come around in front of me. And when the first one got there, he said, just go on back around to your seat. And this went on and on. I said, oh, Lord, is it really that bad in the body of Christ? We teach healing. And it is. Could it be from unforgiveness? Could it be from idolatry? Could it be from sin? Of course it is. I'm not saying that every single thing, but I'm not too sure. But what everything that the enemy has put on us is from sin. I know that. The children of Israel wanted God, didn't they? They really wanted to worship him, but they liked to just stay in their tent right there at the door. They didn't want to get too close. I know a lot of people have told me, well, I'm afraid of you, Irma. Listen, I'm only a vessel of the Lord, and I don't know anything unless the Holy Spirit shows me. They went whoring after other gods. They just said, God, you or Moses, you up there and talk to God and come back and tell us. So that's what we do. We're telling the people in the wilderness. And we're overcoming by the what? The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We have a lot of golden calves in the church's corral. You believe that? Lots of idols and lots of pitfalls. What is an idol? Well, if you don't know, why don't you get a mirror and look in the mirror and see what you see? Do you hear that? Is it sinking in? If you want to see what an idol looks like, find yourself a mirror. You think we don't love self? The Bible says, what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Do we?
No.
Is that sin? Of course it is. We need to love everybody. Well, I hate all these, has that gushy love that don't amount to a hill of beans. I meet people uptown and they'll say, I've just been wanting to come to your meeting. I just hear they're so wonderful. Do you think they ever come? Heaven used to call it saccharine love. They just carry on, you know, carry on. Ishy, sweet, mushy, saccharine love. Doesn't amount to a hill of beans. I want to go beyond the tent door, don't you? I want to be free. I don't want to love myself, but we do. You know, we take care of ourselves before we take care of our neighbors, and much less love them. Sometimes we don't even know them. How many really know your neighbors and you really love them? I don't know. A few. Hilda loves me. I'm her neighbor, and she's got other neighbors she loves. Okay, I'm going to get with my notes. He's writing down things. I don't know what he's doing. Now I'm going to go into some other idol. Money. I get calls at least once a week from people. Where do we put our money? Well, I don't know what bank's going to go close. I don't know what saving and loan's going to go close. I know they used to tell us. I'm not taking up an offering now. I'm just saying how much we love money and that old root that is a root of all evil. I always say if the rapture came today, by tomorrow, this root would cause people to dig up the golden streets in heaven. Oh my, coveting, boastful, greedy. These are all idols. Immorality, we heard that, immorality. Craving evil things. Headstrong, immoral, stubborn, self-willed. Oh my, self-willed. Self-willed. Not willing to help anybody. I remember Glenn had about 6 places to set up at the convention, and there was a really nice man. I thought he's a nice man. And I said, would you mind carrying one of these microphone stands for me? I have to take this recorder and go set it up over there in that other workshop. He said, well, I wouldn't be caught dead walking through this hotel lobby carrying that thing. I said, oh, okay. So I carried it. It wasn't very long after that. That man had a heart attack. If you go lay on your bed and you think you're dying, I guess people have told me that they have a million things running through their mind in just a minute or two. Well, shall we bind the strong man of dirty blood? We've got all the stuff in our bloodline. Who knows what all we got? The Bible says our hearts are desperately wicked. Who can know them? Can you know your heart?
No.
Well, of course not. We have to just ask the Holy Spirit to turn the light on us and to cause us to see our own faults. You don't need to be looking at everybody else's faults. Now, see, I used to look at Glenn's and look what I got into, all his spirit. But the Lord took care of him. I don't know if I prophesied that or cursed him. But anyway, he's doing better. Oh, I've lived with him 50 years. You should have lived with him the first 25 years we were there. Oh, my. Sit down at the table. Well, what do we got to eat? Well, I said, we've got fish and rice and salad or coleslaw and dessert. I want gravy. I can't eat without gravy. I said, well, I can't make gravy with fish. Well, you sure can. So he'd get up. What do you think he did? Throw some grease in the skillet, lard, when we've eaten that abominable stuff, threw flour in on it, stirred it up, poured milk in it, and there I am, sitting, the bride sitting there. thinking, this is a lovely dinner. Why do you have to have gravy three meals a day? Because his mother had gravy three meals a day. That could cause more fights in our marriage than anything we've ever had. He now doesn't even hardly eat gravy. He's finally seen the light. I pray. We have to pray one for another. And I tell you, it's hard to be married. It is. It's hard to live with a man. It's hard for men to live with women, but we got to do it. We vowed we'd do it. I hate divorce. You hate divorce? Oh, he does. But, you know, he wrote the children of Israel a divorce because they just upset him terrible. He'd talk about his their abominations. You know what abomination means? It makes God want to throw up at our sins and abominations and our iniquities. We know right from wrong now. I dare say everybody in here knows right from wrong. But when we know to do right and we just go ahead and do the other, we are covered with iniquity. That is iniquity. Knowing to do right. Now, somebody will say lawless. I've heard that. Lawless, lawless, lawless. So, of course, it's lawless. But the simpler thing is when you know you're supposed to read your Bible every day. You're supposed to pray in tongues every day. You're supposed to obey your parents, obey your husband. I do. I got delivered from the fear of my husband. One time I was down in a camp in Georgia, and Frank Mazzulla was walking back and forth in front of me. He says, "You're afraid of your husband." I said, "I think he's afraid of me." He said, "You are afraid of your husband. Boy, when they put the B on you, you know." Ooh. I said, "All right." And he prayed for me. Because I would sit down to the table and just hoped that I had the right food that he wanted to eat. That's why I say it's hard to be married. But we're getting the victory. Another 50 years and we'll have it made. All right, we've touched on bad blood, unclean blood, unclean blood. If your great-grandfather committed adultery or fornication, it's in your bloodline. If your mother had diabetes, it's in your bloodline. You are susceptible to those things. Now, some people can glide through life and hardly anything bothers them. Well, that must be glorious. But some people have had terrible parents and grandparents. Now, my great-grandmother, I didn't know it, but she read palms and tea leaves when she came from Germany. And that has affected this campground because it was in our blood. Third and the fourth generation, 160 years back, you are affected. You are affected if you've ever been to a fortune teller, or your mother has, or your grandmother, or great-grandmother. If you've ever belonged to these cults. And one of the worst things is the Masonic Lodge and the Demolays. And the Eastern Star. You know, those are wicked spirits. I learned it the hard way. The very difficult, hard way. One time a man called up on Saturday morning, and he said, "I'd like you to come and be delivered from the Masonic spirit." I said, "Oh, okay." I thought, "That's an easy one. I thought that's going to be easy." Well, he came, he started to pray, and all of a sudden my throat was throttled. I thought, "What in the world?" I said, "Grant, you better stop and pray for me. Something's on me." My grandfather had been a Mason. My grandmother had been an Eastern Star. I had never, I used to want to go. If you're curious about something, that's when the evil spirit can come in too. I'd go to, they owned a grocery store and the lodge hall was upstairs. They'd say, "We're going to lodge. Now you stay down here with a hard hand here in this grocery store, little country store." I'd say, "But I want to go." "You don't know the password." When they'd go and go up those stairs, I'd go out there and I'd creep up the stairs trying to hear the password, and then I thought I could go in. You don't have to do very much. Look at a Ouija board, be a little interested in a Ouija board, be a little interested in a horoscope, have your handwriting analysis done, read a Jehovah's Witness book. God says, "I'll curse you." Amen. He will curse you. Amen. It may not crop out in this generation, but it may crop out. And I'm telling you, we're all under many curses. And I don't want to scare you, but I mean, we've got to face the facts. We're not playing church here anymore. Derek Prince wrote me a letter. I wrote and told him about our daughter, and he knew her. He said, "If I get well from what's wrong with me now, I'm going to write a book on deliverance and tell it like it is." You know, we all know a lot more than we're saying. We do, because I know it frightens people. But I'm telling you, we've got to come straight. straight from the Holy Ghost. Let's pray. Let's repent. We're going to first bind the strong man. You know, you can cast out all these little things, but the strong man's still there, and all those little things will come back with 7 times worse. So we're going to bind the strong man. Is that all right?
Amen.
You ready to repent about idolatry?
Amen.
All right, let's pray. Dear Father,
we
come in the name of Jesus.
We're needing help, Lord.
We're sorry for our sins.
Lord,
we need you. We need your deliverance. We need that precious blood. We are sorry for all this idolatry that we've indulged in. We are sorry for all the things we've inherited. And all of our ignorance all these years. But Lord, we want help.
We need deliverance.
We want to repent.
We
need your precious blood.
For
every time we've ever sinned.
With lust.
Covetousness.
Idolatry.
Or anything else. Connected with that. And every time we've asked Santa Claus to bring us something. And listen to lies of our parents.
Telling
us we'll get sticks in our stocking.
Because
Santa Claus is watching. And then we told our children. And Santa Claus is not omnipresent.
He's not a God.
And we will not tolerate that idol. In our houses.
In our family line.
And I dare say. That every one of us has indulged about Santa Claus. I'm going to stop a minute because about 3 or 4 weeks ago, the Lord just showed me. Now, I threw away the Christmas tree and all the ornaments, and I had about 15 Santa Clauses where I used to work. The girls that worked for me would make Santa Clauses, big, tall ones, all kinds of things. I was collecting them. What a thing to have in your house. Bring no abominable thing in your house. That's as abominable as you want to get. Now, I may be touching your very tender spot. I hope I am. Because I brought it up at the prayer group, a few of us, the other night. And, you know, we had a Santa Claus suit. Glenn used to dress up in it, carry a basket of toys, go up and down the street, ringing his bell. And, well, did you ever do something like that? Giving out these little things and saying, Santa Claus is coming. Well, I tell you, that's as wicked as it comes. That's an idol. Between that and Mickey Mouse, I don't know which is the worst, but Santa Claus is not omnipresent. He doesn't see when you're good or bad, but the all-seeing eye of God sees it, and you better believe it. That's an evil idol. I mean, we all got delivered, but you know who got the worst deliverance? The hardest? Coughing. Carrying on, didn't he? That is the man right there. He isn't even listening. Okay. You believe you've repented? Now, you can get on your knees and repent. There's a lot of things to repent of next week. But we're going to call these spirits out. Both feet on the floor. This is a delivery room right now. You don't deliver a baby without them bearing down. And you don't get delivered. It's only an act of God. But he says believers will cast out evil spirits. Are you all believers? You know what the word cast out means in the dictionary? To breathe out, give a quick jerk, and vomit. Somebody said today, they were telling me about their preacher. She told her preacher about being down here. He says, do they pass out buckets? No, she said, paper towels. The minister that brought us into it, he belonged to the Open Bible Standard Church. He went to a meeting in Canada when the Great Revival was going on in Canada. He got laid on the floor between the benches, got delivered, came home and introduced his church, and there was tremendous revival. And the brass from headquarters come with the briefcase and said to the girl in the vestibule, tell me, is it true they use A&W cups to throw up demons? She said, yes, what do you use? That preacher wasn't long for that church. All right. Let's get serious now. This is serious business, but you've got to have a little joy or you couldn't handle this. It's hard on the flesh. Oh, I hated it. I hated it. Still hard on my flesh. All right, everybody ready? You know how to breathe out? Take a gut-level breath, no little. If you're having a baby and it's not doing too good, the nurses came in. I had two children. They come in and they wham me on the leg. Bear down. I said, I don't want to. It hurts. Bear down, I said. Pretty soon you do it. All you have to do is cast it up. Breathe it out. Jesus is down in there. He's going to push it out. But you have to help. And you can silently be delivered. You can be delivered in the night. You can be delivered as you go home. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bind the strong man of idolatry over every one of these people and over this campground. You spirit, you strong man of idolatry, I command you to come off of your throne now, and you will not interfere with this. I bind the strong man of idolatry, idolizing your children, idolizing your home, idolizing your cars, idolizing your pleasures, idolizing food, idolizing sex, idolizing pornography, idolizing food, drink, addictions, idolizing all these things that our flesh likes. We command you in the name of Jesus, come out, idolatry. Come on out in Jesus' name. I bind your power. I bind your power. The anointing is going to destroy the yokes in you. In the name of Jesus, I command you to come on out. Well, come on, get with it. Come on out in Jesus' name. Come on out, idolatry. You don't have to have any dignity in here. We'll have that tomorrow. Come on out, idolatry. In the name of Jesus, come out of her. She needs some help right over here. In the name of Jesus, come out of her. Come on out in Jesus' name. Occult spirits, come out of her now in Jesus' name. False religions, come out in Jesus' name. I bind your power. Idolizing your children. Idolizing your children. Idolizing your husband or your wife. We do not bow down to idols. If you've been a Catholic, we break the powers of Mary. We break the powers of the Pope. We break the powers of praying to dead saints. They can't help you. They're dead. They're dead. Command you in the name of Jesus. False gods, false gods, false gods in the name of Jesus. We break your power. We break your power in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. All false gods, they're coming out. They don't have to make a big fuss. In the name of Jesus. Come on out. That's right. Yawn. Breathe out. Gut level breath. Cough them out. However they want to come out. Scream them out. Scream them out. In the name of Jesus, you have to come out. We don't want you here anymore. You idolatrous spirits. In the name of Jesus. Come out. All the idolatry, all the divination, all the witchcraft, rebellion, come out now of her in Jesus' name. All the reading of Unity books and Jehovah Witness books, all these things we've contaminated our mind with, novels. In the name of Jesus, come on out. Everybody pray. She'll take care of her own demons. You take care of yours. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Unforgiveness, come out. You spirits that make people sick, unforgiveness, come on out. Come out of her in Jesus' name. Come on out in Jesus' name. Let it go. Let it go. It's wanting to move. It's coming right up there. In the name of Jesus. Come on out of her. Come on out of her. Let it go. Let it go. In Jesus' name. Cough it out now. Let's go. It's ready to go. It's ready to go. In Jesus' name. Come on out of her. Let go of her in Jesus' name. Let go of her in Jesus' name. You are defeated. It is written, Satan, Jesus defeated you at the cross. He defeated you in the garden. He defeated you in the grave. You are no longer our master. We will not, Jesus Christ is our master. It is written, the Lord rebukes you. The Lord rebukes you. Go right ahead. Pray for her. In the name of Jesus. 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 Let that go in Jesus' name. Breathe it out. Gut level breath. That's right. Let it go in Jesus' name. All idolatry. All idolatry. In Jesus' name. Idolizing. Idolizing things. Idolizing things. Are you the one with jealousy? Okay. Spirit of jealousy, I bind you. I command you to go now in Jesus' name. Come out of her. Jealous in Jesus' name. Come on out. Jealous, I bind you. Take a deep gut level breath. Don't cough it out. Let it go in Jesus' name. It's moving up. Moving up. Everybody just keep in prayer. cough it out. Now let it go. There it comes. It's coming up now in Jesus' name. That's right. Let it go. Cough it out. Don't. That's right. I need a cough. I need a paper towel. All right. Come on out. Come on out. You can't hold her captive. I come against all strife in this marriage in the name of Jesus. All strife in this marriage. All unforgiveness. All unforgiveness in this marriage, I command that to go. All unforgiveness. That's right. Cough it out. Let it go. You've got a wonderful heritage. Just by learning this when you're first married, when you're young. In the name of Jesus. All strife. All strife. All strife in this home. I bind that power over them in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Through the blood of Jesus, we are cleansed. The enemy cannot live where the blood of Jesus is living. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to let Glenn come on up because I don't know what he's going to talk about, but there's a lot of things in here. Have you learned anything today? Anybody want prayer right this minute? In the name of Jesus. 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 Come out of her. Come out of her, you spirit of the occult. Come out of her in Jesus' name, you divining spirit. Come out of him in Jesus' name. Sickness, sickness and unforgiveness, come out of him now in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on out of her. The spirit of divination, come out of her now in Jesus' name. Take a deep, deep gut level breath. Let that come out. Don't hold it over your mouth. Just let it go in Jesus' name. Hate it. Hate it. All mental problems, mental sickness, I command you. The Lord brought me out of that mental hospital. I was a vegetable. 17 shock treatments and didn't know a thing. And the devil's done a number on me, and that's why I hate him so. That's why I hate him. You may think I belong back in one, but I tell you, this is real. This is real. All you mental problems go in Jesus' name. You cannot hold this woman captive any longer. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I'm through, Glenn, right now.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.